Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
Transitions brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto here at the top of the hour. That's brought to you by DuckDuckGo. We would like to thank Craig Calcaterra, Sage Rosenfels, Paul Charchian, Evan Thomas, Connor O'Donnell, Rick Camp, Mike Rankin, and Ray Diaz for all of their hard work today. Lawrence Holmes is here. Lawrence, sorry we're getting to you a little late, but things got pretty wild and woolly in the last hour.
I enjoyed so much. I listened to the Sage segment every week. I think it's one of the smartest segments that we have on the station. I enjoyed so much Sage being like, and another thing, before I leave, let me tell you some other stuff that they're getting wrong. Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
What's in your wallet?
That was just so great. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, there's this thing that I've been meaning to talk about. And before you let me off the air, let me tell Bears fans some more mistakes that this offense seems to make and things that I hate about their offense. And go.
And he wasn't even done. Like, we could have done another 20 minutes with Sage.
You very easily could have. And it was a delight to hear. And it's so funny to me. And I was talking about this a little bit yesterday, where he referenced the Tony Romo sound about what the Bears offense should be. And I played it three times. This is 20 seconds. In 20 seconds, Tony Romo broke down what the Bears offense should be. And it's amazing because I was having a conversation with Big Ant. We were texting during the Thursday night game a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, this Stefanski offense would seem to be a really good fit for Justin Fields and some of the Bears skill players. And considering the way that they run the ball. And he said, yep. So he kind of went through, this is what they should do. This is how games should be called. And Tony Romo said the exact same thing. And he's not the only one. Olin Krutz has said the exact same thing. Alex Brown has said the exact same thing. There's so many people in and around football, people who have a vested interest in watching the Bears and wanting the Bears to succeed. They've all been saying the same thing. And when you get to, oh, it was the seventh series of downs, when you started to see elements of the offense that everyone thinks the Bears should run, that's problematic.
And apparently just now, Allen Robinson is telling reporters that he's had a difficult time building chemistry with Justin Fields because they didn't have enough snaps together in training camp.
Oh!
Oy.
These are all the things. These are the things. These are the things that we, Layla, you talked about this. I talked about this. Dan talked about it. Danny talked about it. The idea of you have this plan of we're going to play Andy Dalton until Andy Dalton fails. Because that's legitimately what they had said about Justin Fields. And in making him the number two, but then saying that he's the scout team guy, but also talking out the same side of your mouth where you go, oh, but Andy's ready. Andy knows exactly what it is that we want to do. Then why wouldn't you then get the number two guy up to speed by increasing his reps? Now, he doesn't have to have more, but he could have had more reps than Andy, but he could have had more reps overall, you know, to get him ready to play with, you know, your most important offensive player who isn't named Justin Fields.
I'm just also not a big fan of hanging people out to dry or like making them suffer because, you know, you want to test them. And I feel like a lot of this is just like testing or something. You know, I very much question the environment he's been put into because it's like, I think you guys know this, especially in our business, when you go on like auditions or like job interviews and they like try to fool you. It's like, why would you do that to somebody? Don't you want to see the best version of who they are because you want to set them up to succeed? Because like when people succeed, usually, you know, better things happen. Like you're usually more successful overall, whether it's your workplace or a team. And I feel like that's what's going on with Fields right now. It's like, yeah, sorry, you weren't Andy Dalton, so therefore, like, here you go, rookie. Like, here's our game plan. Like, we're going to call these plays regardless. To me, it just feels like that the entire time, you know? And, like, once again, there are so many, like, kernels of information to me. Put them together. Combine them with what you're seeing on the field every Sunday. You want to tell me I'm wrong? Oh, no, you just want to be like, oh, he holds on to the ball too long. Come on.
You owe Andy Dalton $10 million. And that's it. That I get that going in, there was the musical chairs with the quarterbacks. And you felt like you were going to be the odd man out. Fine. You went and got Andy Dalton as a placeholder. And you should have paid him like one, but you didn't. But once we get to the draft and you have this opportunity for whomever the quarterback is, had it been Jones, fine. But once you got to the place where you're like, man, we might be able to get one of the guys that was on our board because the rest of the board went kablooey, then whatever you told Andy Dalton as a guy that's only going to be here 1 year doesn't really mean that much. So getting him prepared to play the season, I always thought was just, it was weird to me because he's a veteran QB and there's a redundancy there. Like, you don't want to play Foles, even though at this point, Foles and Dalton are the same guy. And you could have been using that time more wisely. And these are all questions about how a team should be managed by Ryan Pace and how a team should be coached.
Well, you know what the answer is going to be. Like, because if you're a good reporter, you take that comment from Allen Robinson and then you bring it right back to any coach or general manager, and you say, here's what Allen Robinson said. Why didn't you find more time for their chemistry to evolve with your snap distribution? And the answer is going to be, we didn't expect Andy was going to get hurt. That's what they're going to say.
And that's a terrible expectation because this is the NFL.
But you know that's what their default setting is going to be. They didn't screw up. They prepared their starter and their most important wide receiver.
I think both things can be true. I think that you can prepare the guy, but you also have to be prepared. Look around the league. It's already happening. You saw it last night where Geno Smith is out here getting starts in prime time because of something accidental that happens because there are angry 300-pound men that are chasing down these quarterbacks. It is inevitable that guys are going to get hurt, which is why, like, to me, it was either Justin Fields was your one and you were going to pour everything into getting him ready for the season, or he was your three and you said, all right, we're going to slow play this and bring him along. Making him the two and then not giving him the reps that he needs to build chemistry with the rest of the offense and prepare for defenses that he's going to play, to me, seemed like them trying to hedge. And I thought it was a bad hedge. And you didn't want to have Foles as your two because you don't like him. And if you liked him, he could have just been your one. And then you could have spent your money in the offseason doing other things. Then you could have figured out a way to maybe keep your left tackle or figured out, like, the Jimmy Graham money was really good money last year. It's really terrible money.
Was it good money last year?
Yeah, it was.
Or did he just earn his very above market value contract?
Yes. I'm saying in retrospect, Layla, he earned the money last year that they gave him. But that was because he had opportunities to play. And now he's still earning money and he's not playing. And none of that really
he's making
makes
money, he's not earning it.
Yes. What you just said. That thing.
But you're right. Last year almost obscured it. Like he caught enough of those touchdown passes to say, you know, make you shrug and say, well, I guess. Yeah, like that's the kind of production you wanted. I mean, he did it, and you can't take those away from him. And then miraculously, when your quarterback needs all the help he can get, especially in the red zone, he's not out there.
Right. He doesn't have a lot of targets. And it's the whole thing is just, it's too bad. And I was saying yesterday to Danny and Spiegs, I want to give the front office and ownership of the Bears credit, and I think I probably give them too much credit in that they're seeing what we're seeing as observers of this team, and that they're going to respond accordingly. Like, not like someone who calls up Dan and Layla and is like, fire everybody, but at least someone who's going, this was embarrassing. Like, what happened to us on Sunday afternoon was embarrassing. The way that the Packers game ended was embarrassing. Like, all of that stuff. And it doesn't feel like they are seeing it. And it's one of the things I want to get into today, where Matt Nagy has gotten so good at not just coach speak, but it's coach speak cloaked in like corporate speak, where there's this level of unearned like positivity where everything has to be spun in a way that's going to make people think that you know what you're doing, instead of admitting, man, we have got a lot of problems and we've got to figure out how to do it. It comes off as so disingenuous. And I don't think that that's I'm not as cynical enough to think that Matt Nagy is doing it on purpose because it sounds disingenuous. I think that he thinks this is what Bears fans want to hear, or what ownership wants to hear. And I don't have any proof from the fan side that it is what they want to hear. And when he does open his mouth now, people are like, get this guy out of here.
I'm not an idiot.
They don't trust it. They don't trust that he can work through these problems, or even identify what the problems are.
He likes these problems. They love this briar patch. They love these problems. This is where they're comfortable. This is Bears football. He said it. He said it from what David Haw described as drive-through word salad yesterday from his car, where they know this environment of being in these losing streaks. This is where they can say their words and do their things and lose their games. We have fallen to this point. We have learned helplessness here. The Bears are more comfortable losing consecutive games than they are winning them.
Well, it's just like I said earlier, when their first inclination is to remind you of a losing streak at the end of the season rather than the 5-1 streak they started on, what does that say?
That's spot on.
What are they prioritizing?
That's real.
Although, I wouldn't be readily positive about beating the NFC East last year either. But those are still wins that you got. Still why you made that extended playoff where you had the MVP.
It's true. It's just all of it. Just it's too bad. All of it. Like, and these are. I hate when we're right about simple, silly stuff. The Allen Robinson gives voice to something that almost anyone watching the Bears could go and say. So wait, Justin Fields is gonna play this year, right? Like. Either he plays because Andy Dalton is injured, or he plays because Andy Dalton is bad. Both of those things have a high probability of happening. So why aren't you getting him ready? Well, we're going to give the snaps to Andy Dalton. But he doesn't need them, right? Because he's a vet and he knows, yeah, but we still want to get him familiar. Well, then why is Fields the two? Well, we want him to be ready. Then why aren't you getting him ready? And then they have no answer for it. And it's stuff that people can see. And it's for a league that makes itself out to be really complicated. And the Bears try to lean into that and try to tell you that you're not seeing the things that you're seeing.
Gaslighting.
Facts. Like, it boggles the mind that they think. To have Allen Robinson give voice to it, just it makes me laugh, and I'm dying on the inside because of it. Because this is avoidable. This is get the number two quarterback ready to play if the number two quarterback has not played in the NFL. How would you do that? Well, you would probably increase his reps and his familiarity with other members of the offense that you're trying to take a step forward with.
You're going to have some breaking news coming up in about 45 minutes when the Blackhawks are going to unveil the results of their supposedly independent internal investigation. And everybody that I've been talking to, I've been texting just off the air here. No one knows the scope of what changes could be coming or what any of this could mean.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how independent the independent report is and what the Blackhawks allow to become public. This is a huge story. You had two players allege that they were sexually assaulted by an employee, and it looking like that the people in charge of the franchise and to some degree the guys in the dressing room didn't seem to care
right
about this. So what they end up finding in their investigation, and I'm glad that there have been other Blackhawks of that era that have lent voice to there were significant problems, and I'm hopeful that we will come to that they have come to a truthful and satisfying conclusion to what seems to be horrific nightmare of a time by these two players and beyond.
Lawrence, we'll let you go. Thank you, as always.
Thanks, you. Lawrence. That is Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi. Together, they are Bernstein and Rahimi. You can check them out 9 a.m. until noon. You can check my show out until 2 o'clock. It starts right now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.